Qui-Gon disregarded the council quite often, she retorted. He told me so on Tatooine. He said it was the height of folly to substitute someone else's judgment for your own, when you're the person best placed to decide. Picking up her cup again, she took a small sip of tea. I'd be very surprised if he never gave you the same advice, Obi-Wan. His eyes blanked. His expression froze. I have not come here to discuss Qui-Gon Jinn. She couldn't help shivering. His voice was so cold. This was the Obi-Wan who could reduce Anakin to chastened silence, almost to tears. But I won't be intimidated, she thought. He has no right to chastise me. She put the cup down again. Fine, then let's discuss this. If you had died in that arena because he didn't go to your aid, Anakin would have been devastated. Do you honestly think I'd stand by and let that happen? Your actions are not the point, Padme. The point is that Anakin shouldn't have let it happen. He is a Jedi. He is required to put duty before his personal feelings. And he did. He was prepared to do what Master Windu told him. I'm the one who decided to rescue you. And as my appointed bodyguard, Anakin had no choice but to tag along. That earned her a look tinged with bitterness. Very creative of you, Senator, said Obi-Wan. Qui-Gon would be proud. She leaned forward, trying to reach him, to reach through that self-possessed, deflecting Jedi manner. Anakin admires you so much, Obi-Wan. He needs to know you trust him. He nodded. He does know. Really? She sat back. I wonder. You don't believe me. Why not?
Because if he believed you trusted him, he'd be less uncertain.
Less uncertain? Echoed Obi-Wan, incredulous. Padme, Anakin's problem is not a lack of certainty. Quite the opposite, in fact. It's his overconfidence that has proven his undoing. Had he not disobeyed me, not leapt in to face Dooku alone, he would not now be lying unconscious in the temple, waiting for them to complete construction of his prosthetic arm. So, she said, her heart pounding, you blame Anakin for what happened. Obi-Wan stood and half turned away from her. I did not come here to rehash the events on Geonosis. That is Jedi business, not yours.
Then get to the point or return to the temple, Obi-Wan, she retorted. I didn't invite you here, and I've permitted you to stay as a courtesy, no more.
Slowly he turned back to her. His face was pale, his clear blue eyes darkened with difficult emotions. The point is, there can be no hope for anything but a civil cordiality between you and Anakin, Senator. He has made a commitment to the Jedi Order. His life is with us. To dream otherwise is folly. She felt a shimmer of rage in her blood, like heat dancing on the Tatooine desert.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't take me for a fool, Padme, he snapped. Of course you do. He has feelings for you, strong feelings that cloud his judgment and make him disobedient to the Order. Are you going to pretend you don't have similar feelings for him?
My feelings are my own affair.
Not when they involve a Jedi. Breathing harshly, they glared at each other. If she could see pain in him, surely he could see it in her, too.
This is why you came?
She whispered.
To tell me I must forget Anakin?
I came because I was told to, he replied after a moment. And because I'm trying to protect him. And you, though I don't expect you to believe that. But Padme, he dropped to the edge of his seat again, touched his fingertips to her knee. It's true. You must know that to pursue this any further will only lead to heartbreak for both of you. If you do love Anakin, you must let him go. He can't love you and be a Jedi, and he was born to be a Jedi. He has a great destiny, greater than you or I can imagine. If he is not free to pursue it, a great many people may pay a dreadful price. Is that what you want?